Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Paul Kaharsky from Outkick 360 and paulkaharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean at 9 o'clock as well. So a lot of coverage of Titans training camp coming up today here on the show. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Eric on the text line says, Tannehill needs to come in the locker room today with Alice Cooper face paint on with a boombox blaring, "No more Mr. Nice Guy." Just really get after it. Set the tone today if you're Ryan Tannehill.
I love it.
I hope this is going to be how he approaches it.
Too, by the way.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
So, Joe, after much anticipation through the first hour of the show, your 53-man initial roster projection is out at theathletic.com. Now,
very exciting.
I'm not sure if you want to go exciting through the day. Whole thing here on the program so people can actually go read it at theathletic.com. But
once again, trying to get me fired.
What are some of the things that stand out to you about how you go about evaluating a roster, which was pointed out yesterday at the press conference? There's a lot of continuity on this roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So as you were putting this together, how difficult was it to really do this at this point heading into training camp with a lot of bodies out there now?
Well, the thing that strikes me about this brilliant projection is that so if you take out the three special teams folks, and we would all agree on those three names, I think, Randy Bullock, Brett Kern, Morgan Cox, we'll say Ryan Stonehouse is here to compete with Brett Kern.
Yep.
And Caleb Shudak from Iowa was maybe going to push Randy Bullock. He starts on PUP. So Robinson didn't say much specifically. You know, he had a pretty quick kind of noncommittal answer on when he'll be back. But those three are, you know, probably going to be it. I do think this could be Brett Kern's last year, by the way. It's his last year of his contract, and he did take a pay cut down to $2.2 million. He's 36. So this could be swan song for Brett Kern. But anyway, we will have plenty of time to talk about that. You take those three out, you got 50 people, right? So you
dial up a couple more reverses this year, but yeah.
Yeah, well, they better get as much offensive weaponry out of him as they can get. But if you take those three out, you got 50. One of the things that I would say most years, this isn't true. I really should look back, but I have 27 of the 50 as offensive players.
Okay.
That's heavy. I would say, I would wager that for the most part, most actual rosters have a little bit more defense than offense. I think that's true. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I would be willing to bet that for the most part, typically out of those 50, it's probably usually a little bit like, you know, not like much different, but like 26, 24 defense. Versus, you know, again, this is 27-23 offense.
Right.
The reason that I did that, I guess, is because I'm having a hard time distinguishing some players. And I guess, you know, in a way, you look at it like quantity sometimes, you know, is necessary if you don't have quality. And that's certainly what I'm looking at with receiver.
That's the interesting, as we get through the positions here, like we've talked so much about offensive line. But it's more about who's going to start. Like, I think we have a decent idea of who's going to make the team, say for maybe a spot or two on the offensive line. The receiving room is really interesting to me this year because, I mean, I said it yesterday. I feel good about three guys for sure making the team in Woods, Burks, and Westbrook Akina. I think Kyle Phillips is going to make the team.
Yep.
I think. But other than that, like, it's really interesting to me. Like, you know, they brought up Des Fitzpatrick a couple times yesterday, just kind of out of the blue with nobody asking about it. That's probably a good sign of the work that he's put in so far this offseason.
Yep.
So maybe you're feeling better about Des Fitzpatrick. But, you know, we went through the receiving room yesterday. After those three that you know are going to make the team, it is a pretty interesting open competition in terms of what the rest of that room looks like. Josh Malone's a part of it. Racy McMath's a part of it. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
And
I guess Mason Kinsey's part of it too.
Well, yes. Cody Hollister, you know, you've got what you could look at as nine candidates,
yeah,
you know, to be in the room. So I went with seven, which,
ooh,
frankly, I think I'm probably going to be wrong. But McMath is – the question with McMath is how key is he considered as a special teams guy?
Right.
It's not like I think he's like changing the game with what he does in the kicking game. But if he's valued enough in that way, then I think that's his ticket. This may really be six. I do feel pretty good about six if McMath is what I think he is in special teams. And it really may come down to Malone against Fitzpatrick. Like, I put them both in, but it may come down to them, and that's probably more likely. But I just, you know, I mean, there's a lot here. There's a lot of – this could be really off, frankly. This could be really wrong because I also went Trenton Cannon at running back, which makes that a five-man room. Now, again, five-man, but remember, Torrey Carter, he's
– right.
Torrey Carter, they're gonna keep a fullback. It's going to be him. So I feel as good as that about it as anybody but Derrick Henry in the running back room. But Henry, Haskins, Hilliard, but Cannon
– I will give this away. You do have Derrick Henry making the team.
Thank you.
So that's good.
I listed him first, too. So you know, just to be sure, I hope he sees it. But Cannon has been a good kick returner, has had some success doing that. So that's where I put him in there. But you know, when you go heavy like this on offense, that means that you're a little lighter. You know, really, just about every spot on defense, you could make a case to keep another player or two than I did. So that's kind of, to me, what the choice will be. Obviously, it's position by position, player by player, but there are some potential reserves who could make runs at some of those defensive spots. Right now, I'm going with, like, the key names that you would expect, and that's it.
Well, with Monty Rice in the situation that he's in, number one, we'll see when he's able to come off PUP, but how does that affect the way that they – view inside linebacker this year? Because, you know, you feel great about the starters and David Long Jr. and Zach Cunningham. You brought up Chance Campbell yesterday as maybe a key depth piece there as well. You know, how far are they willing to go down at inside linebacker, and what does that look like? And, you know, how long is Monty Rice going to be out? That's the other thing. You know, is this going to be a somewhat long-term thing with Monty Rice? Is he going to be back here in a week or two? I guess that's something you got to figure out if you're the Titans. And that affects the way you view that position specifically because, you know, inside linebacker, say what you will about Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown, but at the end of the season last year, it was a pretty nice luxury to have an inside linebacking room of Cunningham, David Long Jr., Jayon Brown, and Rashawn Evans. Like, Rashawn Evans was a scratch in the playoff game.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big luxury.
Right. Rashawn Evans is a scratch in the playoff game. He actually had some really good games, yeah, along the way. Jayon Brown had some good games along the way. And you knew you could count on them. And you also knew that Long and Cunningham were probably going to be the choices to be together this year. And I love that tandem. Who else do they feel good about putting out there? It's important for Monty Rice. And I think it's important for the Titans, you know, that he is out there this camp and they start showing progress and that he can be out there if needed. Chance Campbell's a rookie. You know, I think there's some promise there, but he's a rookie. And then I've got, you know, Dylan Cole, again, a lot of these I always think about kicking game, you know, with these projections, and I think Dylan Cole is a guy who can do that. And maybe he can emerge too as a guy that they feel okay about on D. But once you get past the starters at inside linebacker and at safety, you don't want to get past the starters at those spots if you're the Titans.
No, you don't.
You know, you just don't. You've got – I think you love your depth at outside linebacker with the four. As long as Weaver's all good to go, I think he's going to be one of the players to watch in camp. But Adeney, we know he can go out there and play. Like, you feel good about that. Those two guys backing up your high-ticket starters. Inside linebacker and safety, whew, don't get hurt.
We'll continue to break down Joe Rexroad's initial 53-man roster projection coming up next here on Robbie and Rexroad. Take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Jamie Johnson coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Thursday, August 25th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Thursday, August 25th. 615-737-1025. We are breaking down Joe Rexroad's initial 53-man roster projection at theathletic.com.
Freaking Pulitzer, baby. Give me the Pulitzer for this one.
Pretty darn good. How many of these roster projections are you going to do?
It wasn't last year. I was like, I'm only doing two or something.
Yeah.
I did
four. And Robbie took four and a, or two and a half. You took the over.
Oh yeah, I took the over,
and I did right. I did.
Well, I took the over half. I took the over of. I think it was like three and a half.
I think it was two.
I went a little high.
Wasn't it two and a half? And you took the over. God, did I do more than three last year?
I don't know.
I honestly want. Here's what I want to do.
You should do one every week.
Yeah. No. Here's what I want to do. I want to do one. I'm the last, like right at the end of camp.
Okay.
Like, why? What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What would be so important about continuing to do stupid projections that are just going to be wrong?
Nothing. Two's fine.
I'm just kidding. It's really smart and awesome. Read it at theathletic.com.
Well, this one's great.
It is.
We're breaking it down here on the program. So we've gone through the inside linebacker position. We've gone through wide receiver as well. I mean, look, there are some positions that are going to be, I think, kind of spoken for themselves. Like, I guess I will say the quarterback, there still is a way that they could keep two if you're the Titans. Like, if Malik Willis just – I guess tears it up out there. You feel maybe they keep two there, but three kind of seems logical with the current quarterback setup that they have.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be really surprised. That'd be a big comment on Malik
Willis. Yes, it would.
Because it really wouldn't be. I mean, I suppose Logan Woodside could come out here and just completely fall apart, but he is what he is, and they like what he is. And I think he's continued to grow and they feel, some security with him. So if Malik Willis were to just come in here and just take that job from him to the point where they would cut Logan Woodside, yeah, that would say a lot about Malik Willis. And, of course, you can't cut Malik Willis for him to go to the practice squad because there's a real chance someone would
– Oh, somebody would definitely get him. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's – to me, that's got to be three. And then the question will be, what about actives on game days? Of 48 actives on game days. Right. 53-man roster. Still, certainly, Malik Willis could be inactive on game days, but maybe not.
Who are some Titans, and we've not really talked about this heading into camp, maybe some guys that have been around for a little bit that maybe are in danger of losing their job this year? I mean, look, we kind of joked about it with Brett Kern. I mean – honestly, he didn't have a great year last year, and he did take a pay cut. He's been around for a long time. There's a competition this year. I still think he's going to make the team, and he's going to be the punter. But are there any guys on either side of the ball that maybe have been here for a minute that you feel like are in a real battle this year to make the team?
Well, I think we mentioned Chris Jackson earlier. Yep. Like, again, I think he's going to make it. I think there's a premium on having some veteran experience in this defense. So I like him to make it, but there are some young corners here who are going to push him. I would look at defensive line. And David Beauclair on the show brought this up earlier.
He did.
But you look at – I think one of the most underrated parts of this team potentially this year could be Tyre Tart and Aquan Jones after Simmons and Autry. I mean, I think those guys are – really nice young players who are active and disruptive, and they're really good guys to have around. I think Larrell Murchison, I agree with Beauclair, it's a big camp for him. There's a guy, third year, and you do have some contenders. You have DeMarcus Walker, you have Kevin Strong. Haskell Garrett, was really good at Ohio State last year, UDFA that they picked up. So there's definitely going to be some competition at that spot for sure. Those are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think on the offensive side of the ball if that really exists with this group right now.
Yeah, because I think Swaim is secure. Mm-hmm. You know, we know Hooper and Okonkwo. The fourth tight end is interesting. I'm going to stick with the name that I, you know, have been throwing out there, Briley Moore. Don't sleep on Briley Moore. Now, Tommy Hudson's on PUP. Don't know exactly when he's coming back, but
right.
Tommy Hudson maybe would be your better blocking option. Briley Moore, maybe your better receiving option. I think it's fair to break him down that way. I would think one of them would be the fourth tight end. I wouldn't think they'd just keep three. So, but that doesn't really fit into the category you're talking about. Now, on the offensive line, watch out for Xavier Newman-Johnson, rookie from Baylor. Has played all over the place, and he would be an interior depth piece. You've got, to me, you know, I'm giving him a real chance to beat out a Daniel Munyer, Corey Levin, two guys who certainly could be on this roster as well.
Yeah, we've seen those guys around before as well. Like that's the interesting part when you start breaking down just the full lineup of the team. You know, there's been some big changes, obviously, especially with A.J. Brown going out. But there are a lot of guys outside the receiver position. It's a lot of guys that you're pretty familiar with if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, which is a good thing. I mean, you know the guys. You know what they bring to the table. You know the versatility that they're able to provide. So as far as shaping the roster, like I think there's a good chance that they've got a pretty good idea of what their roster is going to look like right now anyway, and there's always position battles in camp and people who come out of nowhere and surprise you. Like, at this time last year, did we know who Ola Adeniyi was? We did not.
Not a bit.
But he had a pretty darn good training camp last year. And
Mekhi Sargent,
who we talked about yesterday on the show. Like, that always happens during training camp, so there's going to be a couple of guys like that this year, but the good part is if you're J-Rob and Vrabel, like, I think you got a pretty good idea of a lot of these guys already on your roster.
Yeah. And so Ola Adeniyi is an example of a guy who makes a mark for sure, was flashing in camp. And again, he was beating Dylan Raidens a lot. So we were taking that at the time it was more about Raidens than him. But he was a guy who like that translated. And then a Mekhi Sargent, it didn't translate. And you're going to have some of that too. You're going to have some camp heroes who still maybe don't really have a chance to even make the roster, or at least maybe not to be much more than fringe/practice squad players. But no, there's going to be a couple names. Now, maybe some of the names we've thrown out there today, you know, again, maybe like on that D line, and we've seen this in other years too, or some young D linemen come in and make an impact. Maybe a Kevin Strong is one of the stories of camp. There will be some names. I think at corner too, I'm interested to see how some of those young corners perform.
Well, we talked about the youth in that room earlier. You know, there's guys that are set. Like obviously Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden. I feel like all those guys are set. Chris Jackson, maybe the one that's in danger there at cornerback, but you know, how many corners do you want to go? That's the other part of, you know, structuring the roster, regardless of who's making the team. Like, what's the proper number that you want at some of these positions? I mean, Vrabel and Robinson brought that up with corner yesterday, and I think that was specifically just about the practices at training camp and being able to operate that way. But when it comes to your final 53-man roster, a lot of the decisions that end up getting made are, oh, we just need another body at this position, and maybe we like this other player over here better, but he's not the position of need right now. That's the other part of this that makes roster composition in the NFL out of camp pretty difficult.
Yeah, and as I think just about any GM would tell you, like, they don't – like, you can't look at it like, we got to have X corners, we got to have X. Like, sometimes it's just like, look, that fourth tight end is just – too valuable, and so we can't have the sixth corner,
right?
You know, and frankly, we're light at corner. I mean, it's, you know, it's very much it's quite an art putting together, you know, these 53s. And the Titans haven't had any sort of you know, like consistency in terms of like position. I mean, there's certain things you know you're going to have at least like seven offensive linemen, right? And some teams, like I picked eight for the Titans. Some teams certainly go to nine. You see that? I don't know about 10. Probably. There's probably been some 10s. I don't know about there's many 10s. But, you know, that can be fluid. D-line can be fluid, too. And, of course, it depends on your system as well. But, you know, I just – like the Titans have a lot more certainty on defense. So I'm guessing – a little bit less depth, whereas with offense with way less certainty, it's almost like, you know, my guess here is like you're adding a little bit more insurance at the lower ends of some of those rooms. Maybe that's not how it goes, though.
Real quickly, the last two training camps, there has been a position battle that we've not talked about yet that I don't think is really much of a position battle this year, but I do want to get your thoughts on it real quick. Is Randy Bullock for sure the kicker heading into this year?
Well, I think it's way more likely, easier. It's way easier to say yes now because Caleb Shudak is on PUP. But we'll see. If he can come back pretty quickly, I'm not ruling out. Randy Bullock was a great find for them, and he had a good year, but I don't think he's untouchable, right? Randy Bullock is not above the law. So,
although maybe he should be.
He should at least get free drinks.
Everywhere in Nashville.
And appetizers and whatever he may like else other than that, desserts, wherever he goes. But I thought that might actually be interesting. So we'll see. It's always fun when you have a little kicker battle to throw into camp, although it's not as fun if you're a fan of a team that you just want to have a long-term kicker.
We've had a few of those the last couple of years. I mean, you know, Jimmy Wyatt's going to be out there just tallying it up.
Hot fucking chicken.
Yep.
That's right.
That's right.
Man, we forgot, you know, I forgot even existed.
Tallying up each kick every day at camp.
What a time we had with Sam Hot Chicken Ficken.
That's right. This has been Joe Rexroad's initial 53-man roster projection. You can check that out at theathletic.com. We'll get into some NFL headlines coming up next, including a former Titan on the move yesterday as well. We'll get to that coming up next. Make every day a good old day with a hand-crank taste of Bluebell ice cream. The summer winding down a little bit, football season right around the corner, but it is still hot outside, and nothing goes better with this heat than the good old hand crank taste of Bluebell ice cream. The good old days are being made right now. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Paul Kuharski at 8 o'clock as well. As always, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So a former Tennessee Titan on the move yesterday, Joe Rex Road. We've discussed him and talked about him being out there and available. Could he have ended up in the division with Indianapolis? And the answer is no. He's going to the NFC and joining Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Julio Jones going down to Tampa Bay on a one-year deal. It's interesting. I guess, honestly, I probably should have thought about Tampa Bay being the landing spot for him before this. Because it's totally a Tom Brady-esque type of move with Julio going down there. So now, I mean, Godwin's hurt. You've got Mike Evans. You've got Gage that they brought in this offseason as well. And now Julio down there. First off, what do you make of that fit for Julio Jones? And what are the chances in your mind that he is both available and somewhat healthy and productive for Tampa Bay this year down there with Tom Brady?
Well, it usually doesn't keep getting better as you get older. But maybe he's about to find health after a couple years of not really being able to be consistently available. It's interesting that Chris Ballard, and granted, Chris Ballard, you know, perennially overrated GM, pretty much made it clear when he was asked that, like, they didn't even give a glance. You know, and of course, you know, we're talking about a guy who's had a lot. Talk about logging hours with a quarterback, you know, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. That one kind of seemed to make sense, especially for a team that's looking for more receiving help. They didn't even look at him. So I'd love to see Julio Jones get healthy. I know some Titans fans would be like, of course, he has a big year with Brady after coming here and doing nothing. Like Clowney went to Cleveland and was really good last year, but I have my doubts that that's going to happen.
I did start thinking about this yesterday of what if he gets down there with Brady. And look, I don't think there's any chance he plays 17 games. Like, I just, that to me is gone with Julio Jones. But let's say he gets down there this year and he plays 14 games. He catches 55 balls for, I don't know, 750, 800 yards. That's pretty good production out of Julio Jones.
You'd take like, that.
I'd take that if I was Brady right now.
Now yesterday in the, you know, the media room at Titans facility, you know, sitting there talking to Gentry Essos in Tennessee, and he brought up, like, you know, like, look at the Titans. Cause we were talking about Julio. It's like, you know, I was asking, like, how little is he willing to pay for it? Like, maybe he's just like, I'm not going to play, you know, for a, like, I've made a lot of money. Like, why am I going to go out here unless I'm really getting paid? But if he is going to play at that low cost, you know, would it have made sense for the Titans to be like, well, actually, okay, come on back, you know? But then, of course, a few hours later, he goes to Tampa Bay. And I think it's worth a shot for them. He, again, if you could bottle up the Seattle game when not only did he make big plays, he had one play taken off the board that should have been a touchdown, but he looked explosive that day.
Yeah.
Just, there weren't that many days that he did, even when he had his little stretches of health. He didn't look like the Julio Jones we were used to excuse me, to watching in Atlanta. And I just don't know if that guy's ever coming back.
Well, there is a nice Titans and Bucks joint practice coming up here in training camp that
I love it.
I would assume Julio Jones is going to be a part of. Now, that would require him to actually practice. So that was a kind of hit or miss situation last year with Julio Jones, but I'm really hoping he's healthy for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was mostly a miss because of that. I mean, I still remember the play. You know, it was corner of the end zone, and Tannehill threw the fade, and whatever happened. I mean, he had been practicing before that, and then he didn't for a long time after that. So, if you're Julio Jones at this point, obviously you got to look at reality, and if you want to play, you know, this is your new contract situation. It happens to everybody at a certain age. But then also, if he wants to, because Godwin is going to come back, what is the timeline on that?
I'm not sure. I need to look into
that. But he's going to come back, and they have Evans and Scotty Miller, and he's going to have to prove himself and prove himself worthy of getting the reps and snaps. If somehow he's past all the hamstring stuff and able to go, I mean, could be a nice pickup for them. I just, it's hard to feel good about him being past that stuff when it's two years in a row and he's 33.
How do you view them with Brady back, with Evans? I mean, they've got a lot of the same cast and crew together that they've had the last couple of years. Obviously, Antonio Brown is gone and Bruce Arians is no longer the head coach down there, but how do you view them heading in this year? And with Julio Jones coming in, does that change how you view them one iota?
No. I think it's worth a shot. And certainly if they can get even just the way he played. Now, I saw some stuff on social media yesterday, but he's been on the decline for a long time. That's not true. I mean, he was really freaking good in 2019, 2018. In 2020, he still had really good production. His numbers were like on par with what he had done. He just missed half the season, right? So, I mean, it's not like it's been like years of him, being on this obvious decline. But I can't feel all that different about them until I see him play about 3-4 weeks in a row and actually make plays. If that happens, well. It's worth a shot. It's a nice little ad. And I feel like with Julio or without Julio, they're a contender.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your top three teams in the NFC right now? I mean, it's to me,
Rams.
It's the Rams, Packers, Bucks, probably, right?
Probably, even though, like, look, I love Aaron Rodgers. He's really good. He has no one to throw the ball to, but yes.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to still go with those three.
I mean, come on. You saw him walk in.
I did see him walk in yesterday.
The swagger.
You and I would combine for 1,500 yards up there this year.
That's probably true. Rob from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I honestly thought you guys were going to talk about Jeremy McNichols going to the Steelers this morning. It's been a long morning.
Well, Rob. That's in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
The McNichols hour.
Congratulations to Jeremy McNichols going to the Steelers, though.
By the way, I missed the Falcons just let him go.
I guess so.
I totally missed that. I was kind of hopeful that we'd just see half of that roster be Tennessee Titans.
Well, they had reached their former Titans quota, apparently.
And yeah, it's a big number.
It's a pretty big number as well. So, San Francisco, not that this was any big secret, but they made it official yesterday. It is Trey Lance who will be the starting quarterback for San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch speaking yesterday to the media, saying that it is Trey Lance's team. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to practice with him. He did pass the physical, so coming off shoulder surgery, he did pass the physical. So interested to see what sort of movement, if any, there is on the Jimmy G situation this week. He is not going to be participating in practice with San Francisco, and it's the Trey Lance show officially with the 49ers.
Is Jimmy G just going to be sitting around on Sundays watching football?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, somebody's going to make a push for him at some point, whether that's because of injury or they look at their quarterback situation. Like, honestly, like, if you're Cleveland right now, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson, are you going to roll in there with Jacoby Brissett? Are you going to go, like, would you take a flyer on Jimmy G at that point? I mean, all of a sudden, you going to trade to get Deshaun Watson and then turn around to trade to get Jimmy Garoppolo either and give up assets that way? Like, it's – I don't know. I don't know how this is going to end up for him.
Yeah. Well, whoever trades for him, what is San Fran getting back?
I don't know. I mean, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it's got to be worth something, right?
Yeah, but you know the Niners are just going to cut him anyway.
Exactly.
If not, so –
I don't know.
Fourth-round pick. But if you're Cleveland, I'm still thinking about that. Like, do I really want to do that? And then you have your cap and all that stuff too. But I'm with you. I mean, it's got to be someone somewhere, right?
I mean, he's on the quarterback tier list that Sando came out with. He's ahead of Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
One spot ahead of Tannehill, but he was ahead of Tannehill.
Why aren't the Titans making this happen right now?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get Tannehill to be
meaner.
We
don't know that they aren't.
Yeah. Is Jimmy G meaner than Tannehill?
I don't know.
Derek! Run harder!
Yeah. Get after Derek Henry.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant, our rant of the day, which we do every morning at 745. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Cause you make my heart race. Shot me out of the sky.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, here on 1025, 1063 The Game. My rant of the day.
Michelle's jamming out way too much to this.
I don't know how you guys can't just, jam to this. It's such a jam.
This is...
the term hot garbage comes to mind.
Is that Niall Horan or whatever?
One Direction. Niall was a member, correct?
Oh, was he? Did I get the name right?
You did get the name right. Congratulations,
so
Joe.
So that was actually him singing.
Joe's a One Directioner.
I've seen that. Well, I've seen that guy in concert.
Really?
Yes. Katie and I. Free tickets, I must say. But Maren Morris also.
Okay.
And
it's an interesting combo, but okay.
It is an interesting combo. She was very good. It was a few years ago.
All right.
I think she's become a pretty big star.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Maren Morris.
Yeah.
She was, I knew her as an audience member before she was a big star. But he was there too, and the
Joe just discovers talent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She opened and then And then that kid went up there, and I was like, okay, you got to get up early tomorrow.
Yeah, just beautiful stuff. Continuing to come back from break here on this segment. So, all right, my rant of the day is this. And I bring this up because I'm a couple of weeks away from being in this situation, and one of my friends has recently just experienced this, and it's one of the things that will affect me every time I travel via airline. So that's happening again in a couple of weeks. The security line is always an interesting spot, Joe Rexroad, because I would say, and I could be wrong about this, most people in the airport, most people when you're in an airport, I would assume, have been in the airport before, have been on planes. I mean, there's always your first-time flyers and, you know, you've got children. Like, I'm a little bit more sympathetic to that situation. But most people, I think, have been in airports and or security lines to get on your plane before. It always drives me insane when you're standing in line, and sometimes the line's long, sometimes it's pretty short to get up there, but you're standing in line, you're standing in line, you're standing in line, and it's like the security, when it's time for you to go through, like it sneaks up on you. Like you get to the end and you're like, oh wait, okay, I've got to take off my shoes, I've got to take my computer out of my bag, I've got to rearrange my belt, I've got to make sure this bag's over here. I got to look in here because there's this electronic device that's in here that I'm just now remembering to take out. And all of a sudden, 7 minutes have gone by, and the line's gotten a ton longer, and the security guys are like, get your stuff on the thing and go. This happens to me, and it's always, I feel like, the person directly in front of me that this happens, where there's just, you get there, and you're fine, like, okay, I'm about to get through security. I can go get me something to eat, and then we'll get on the plane, and we'll go. And it's always the person in front of me who forgets that the security line is a thing, and they wait until the last second to take out everything. And then all of a sudden, it's a complete disaster. You can't get through, and 15 extra minutes have gone by, and I'm no closer to getting through the security line than I was to start. I anticipate this happening to me again coming up in a couple of weeks, and I hate it. I hate it.
Security line's that's a good one. I'm the person who... It looks like I'm that person, yeah. And then it's like, shoo, 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 and it's all out because it's like you've done it a million times.
Oh yeah,
I've gotten very good at looking because a lot of times you have choices. You go through the big line and then you have like three, four. I'm very good at being like, okay, could be a problem. That person could be a problem. This line's longer. I'm going here.
That's right.
But also, how many times have you made the choice and then? And then like,
it's wrong.
The line that you didn't choose goes way faster.
Oh, even though a lot.
It's like, yeah.
I will say this. And go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say, have you guys ever had somebody just run in front of you? You're walking to the line just people just dart. They like see you walking with your luggage as everybody else in the airport and they just run in front of you. Oh my gosh, that's a big peeve of mine.
I've done that before, so I apologize. I'd like to apologize.
You are the worst.
I'd like to apologize.
But you got to remember, some people are in, right? Some people are in dire.
And whose fault is that, Joe? There.
Well, okay. But what are they, can they do something about it or not? Are they allowed to do something about it? If I see someone lollygagging, and I'm going to go past them. That's
right. So Joe's saying, I'm lollygagging?
I don't know.
I will say this, at the risk of, I guess, getting in trouble by the TSA of exposing security flaws, like there are airports that have different requirements for you going through security, right? Like I've been in the Orlando airport before where they're like, yeah, keep your freaking shoes on, man. What are you doing? Just keep walking.
Or like, different time periods.
Yeah, different time periods. Yeah, different security levels. Why are you taking your shoes off? And I'm like, I take my shoes off every time I go through security. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I do have some sympathy for that. It's not all the time where the requirements are exactly the same. But, I mean, there are some things that you know. Like, you just like walking through with household items that are of questionable legality. Probably not the time to take those out through security.
Right.
Get rid of those.
Like, you should know, that you can't have big containers with liquid. If you have a computer, you should know that you got to always take it out.
Yeah.
And, there are always those people that it's like they act surprised. And
I know.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's first time flying. It
could be.
But you're 57 years old. I have my doubts. Like, how did you not know that?
Frank on the text line says, Robbie, TSA, pre-check, and clear. I probably need to invest in this.
Yeah. I've never done it. I
haven't either.
Some people who swear by it, and actually around here, more and more it may it may be something to look at, because I feel like at BNA,
oh man,
there it's getting at times it's
what know, is it like?
It's a little hectic.
It speaks to what's happening in the city, right?
Yeah,
just, $100
we're
a year,
teeming with people.
I don't know what the price is, but
I think the clear might be like $250, a little more.
Well, every time I go to the airport, I wish that I bought it.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing, because like I've gone in the I've been there like three or four times where I've gone in and I'm the only one security line. The whole thing. I'm the only one walking in there, and I'm like, huh, this is nice. Why can't it be this way every time? And then, you know, I got stuck in Chicago one time, the security line was an hour and 35 minutes long. It's like, good gracious. And then, you know, there's people up there just sifting through their stuff, all this other stuff. No hurry in the world up there, just lollygagging. I think in this specific situation, it was after like a triple overtime game between the Predators and the Blackhawks in the playoffs, and I'm just like, I haven't been asleep in 28 hours. My flight leaves in 30 minutes, and I'm no closer to being through security than I was when I started. Let's get a little pep in the step up there. Yeah. Good stuff.
Security line is there. Yeah, that's a good one. Everybody can relate to some kind of experience, and I mean, some people are old enough to remember when, like, you just went through, and then people would just go through with you and wait with you at your gate.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously that's changed.
John
is necessary.
Well, the text line says airports usually deduct 10 points from most people's IQ for some reason. This is coming from John on the text line.
It's a good.
You
way
can
to put
see
it.
Some. You can see some fascinating things at the airport.
Like no shoes. I've seen people at the airport walk around with we're not talking security.
Just in the actual airport.
Yes.
Well, I've seen flip flops, which grosses me out, and then they have to put the flip flops on the security thing. Like, yeah. Dude, so now you're barefoot in here.
I've done that.
So you're the slow-walking flip-flopper that I passed.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize
that. Joe's going to just check me.
Isn't that gross?
Okay, but it is, but sometimes you just put, like, slides on and you forget or something like that. I don't know. And then I get there and I'm like, oh, crap, well, this is gross, but I'll just do it for 10 seconds. But no, I've seen people actually walk around on a plane without shoes on and in the airport. Not involving
and
security.
Without socks?
Oh yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Dennis on the text line says, it's same for the people in line at a fast food place in front of you who wait until they finally get up to the counter to figure out what they want to eat.
Oh man. There you go.
Well, you can even when you're driving, like if you get into a long line at the drive-through place and then you're sitting there for like 15 minutes and finally the car in front of you gets up there and they're like, hey, can I take your order? Yeah, can you give me a minute? It's like, oh my God, you had 15 minutes to figure this out sitting here. What are you doing?
Or sometimes if you may not be able to hear them, but someone's up there for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like what could possibly be happening there? Sometimes you wait for the person, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're waiting and it's because it's inside, but other times it's like, what could possibly be going on between these two people right now?
I don't know. Justin on the text line says, TSA PreCheck is $85 for 5 years. If that's the case, I'm jumping all over this thing.
Same.
Really? Yeah, I thought it was like $100 a year.
That's what I'm just going by what Justin said on the text line. Hmm. If that's the case, we're going to solve this problem immediately.
We may be like solving our problems today.
We have another vote.
Your rant is solving our problems.
Another texter that says, TSA PreCheck last year was $75 to $85 for 5 years. Absolutely worth it. Well, if this is the case, we're going to fix this problem today.
Wow.
We will all come back tomorrow with TSA PreCheck.
This problem will be solved immediately.
This is awesome.
It's an educational
good rant, man.
Here on the program.
Just improved our lives.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com and Outkick 360. This is Robbie and Rexro of 1025, 1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.